Welcome back, dear listeners. We are talking about the role of women in the viewpoint of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah Ta'ala Ali. I just want to mention a quote from him that he says, "My daughter, all the prophets have come to, you know, elevate all the human beings. And they have come to remove all the curtains, all the obstacles." So by saying this, he wants to say that Islam does not put any hijab or curtain in front of you, you know. You can go through all these progress in your life. Spiritually, you can play your role in your society. So how beautifully he describes. It means that in that time, he was a very open-minded and very, very intelligent person. Because in his society, when he was studying in the Islamic seminary of Najaf, you know, there wasn't any facility for women to study.
Oh yeah, I have heard. You know, therefore we can realize his role and his very revolutionary mindset, you know, because like Najaf is also until now it's a center of knowledge, it's a Muslim Shia, you know, city, definitely very holy city, and Qom is also, I think, because, you know, you can see all the beautiful attributes of prophets and messengers of Allah in this great man. Because if you study Islam, you always see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he has started the journey of guidance for us mankind from Adam and Hawa. So both are there, Adam and Hawa. Both, they went to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to repent. Both have done Tawbah. And Allah has accepted Tawbah from both of them. Although Adam, alayhi salam, is a prophet. But Hawa's role as a spiritual role model is still there. And then if you come, you know, along to like the time of Prophet Ibrahim, you can see Sarah, the role of Lady Hajra. You can see the role of in the time of Moses, the role of the mother and the sister, and Lady Asiya and Lady Maryam. You know, the wonders are there. So you cannot neglect the role of women which Allah has given, and prophets are the protector of that role, and after prophet, the great scholars, especially like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Definitely, and you can see how in the era of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how the women, the great ladies, they played their role. So, which means Islam has provided equally the rights to our, you know, ladies and men. They can both play, but yeah, they have priorities.
Yeah. You know, whenever people, they talk about the equality, I say, why it shouldn't be equal? Why? You know, this I have learned from the school thought of Imam Khomeini, which is the school thought of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. So, because, you know, we as a human being, we are made of soul and body. And our soul cannot be divided to male and female, but our body can be divided. So, the division comes when something we have to play our responsibility duties in this world. Yeah, physical world. But the spiritually, the connection to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and the level and standard of understanding the concept of God, you know, those the main, the very supreme, you know, ideologies.
Women in Imam Khomeini's idea.
When talking about the infant of Islam and the spiritual disposition of the infant, Imam Khomeini observes that you should know that Islam incorporates all things before marriage occurs between a woman and a man until the time they are laid to rest. Islam has canons, it has teachings, it has progressive instructions which are useful for man's happiness both in this world and in the afterlife. Sahifa Ya Imam, Volume 6, page 191.
We are talking about the role of women in the viewpoint of Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi. The Quran also says whenever it talks about the spiritual journey, the nearness to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, it does not mention male or female. It says, Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum.
No doubt.
You know, whoever is more pious, he is closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is more honorable. He is more respectful. Throughout all these verses of the Holy Quran, we cannot find a single verse which differentiates between men and women. Except those, you know, inheritance or whenever it comes to, you know, physical things, then it says that your female rights are these and their inheritance is like this.
That is for this world, you know, like the,
and limited issues. Otherwise, generally speaking, the Holy Quran never ever differentiates between
men and
female.
I love one story. Khalada. This says, you know, that the mindset of prophets and Imam Khomeini. Khalada, she was a lady, normal lady. Okay. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala asked Prophet Dawood to go and visit Khalada because she would be in your company in heaven, in Jannah. So Prophet Dawood went to the house of Khalada. He knocked the door and he said, Are you Khalada bint Uwais? She said, Yes, I am. And then he said, I'm a prophet. Allah has sent me to your house. She said, How come you are coming to my house? You know, there should be any name mistake. I'm not an extraordinary person. This is a wrong address. But he said, No, this is right address. Can you just tell me your habits, your lifestyle? She said, Nothing I have special. Look, that kind of humbleness, you know. So she said, Nothing. People, they would think that I'm suffering a lot from so many problems. But I know those are tests. And I'm so much satisfied by distribution of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So I'm always happy, you know. I'm satisfied. So the way she was so much humble, down to earth, and full of contentment, Prophet Dawood, he said, you are the person. You know, Allah has observed and Allah bought this quality because Allah, we are selling our life to Allah. Inna Allah ashtara. So Allah is buying and Allah is appreciating the quality of humbleness, you know, honesty and satisfaction. So those qualities are important, not a person. So she's a lady, you know. But look at the concept of Islam and Quran and Prophet, that a lady or a man, whoever has that quality, Allah is just
no
elevating
matter,
the status.
So until our next episode,
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah.
Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah,
Muhammad is the messenger, Allah is our return. The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and let us contemplate on what the Prophet of Islam has said about the kinds of hands that human beings have. Hands are of three types: the begging hand, the giving hand, and the grasping hand. The best of hands is the giving hand.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Scientists in Brazil have come up with a creative way to shore up the population of a majestic species of monkeys in danger of extinction. Brazilian conservationists have constructed a bridge to reconnect the two sides of Rio de Janeiro's Atlantic forest. The road had effectively isolated a group of lion tamarins, but now it offers hope for the endangered monkey. There are only 2,500 golden tamarins left in the wild, all of them in Brazil. It is estimated that these animals have lost more than 95% of their habitat.
As people around the globe are preparing for the New Year holidays, the Vatican lights up a Christmas tree and nativity scene set up on St. Peter's Square. People gathered around the square waiting for long hours to see the illumination. Even heavy rain did not stop them. That's why the official lighting ceremony was held inside the Paul VI Hall, where Pope Francis presides his weekly audiences. The nativity scene, made of more than 30 pieces, is created by Peruvian artists. The majestic Christmas tree is about 28 meters and comes from Andalo, northern Italy. The locals see the stunning tree as a symbol of hope and peace. The tree will be switched on every night until January the 6th.
Childhood joy and lightness meet with art at a first-of-its-kind museum in Rome, Italy. Here, all kinds of art decorations are made of balloons. The exhibit dubbed Let's Fly displays a broad range of interactive artworks. In one installation, visitors are invited to find their inner child by diving into a pool of hundreds of small balloons. In another section, giant inflatable sculptures double as a playground for kids. Some installations move only by riding a bicycle. The museum is a place where artists and spectators coexist for a journey into a world of inflatable art capable of freeing the imagination of all ages.
It's the combination of art with childhood and adolescence that makes this place so magical. So they are art installations, but also games. The blurred line between the two is what makes the museum so unique.
The balloon exhibit incorporates innovative works created by 14 different artists from across Europe. The artifacts were created using hundreds of thousands of biodegradable balloons. Organizers say they want to increase environmental awareness by being eco-friendly, as all the artworks will be reused or recycled. The exhibit will run until March the 5th.
Chinese students receive a science lesson on their country's space station, and they are lucky enough to receive it firsthand from the astronauts living in the first and core module of the station. The class was held via a live broadcast shown on the state television. The three astronauts gave a lecture that focused on physics. They explained how the weightlessness environment affects the movement of objects. The astronauts also gave a tour of the station they arrived at in October for a six-month stay. It seems that their teachings were quite motivating. The students peppered their instructors with questions, including those about living conditions in space. China launched its space station in April and plans to complete it by the end of the next year. Christmas is just around the corner, and children are waiting for their presents. In Guatemala, Santa Claus has a new mode of transport to give gifts to children with cancer.
Today, as in the past year, we are celebrating Christmas with the cancer patients of the shelter. Santa Claus came in a helicopter to give presents to the children. It is very emotional for the children. The majority of them have never been so close to a helicopter, let alone Santa Claus.
That was an exciting experience for the children. The charity event was organized by an institute that supports cancer patients for remote areas in Guatemala. The institute says the event aimed to help the children go through their therapies with more ease. The Amazon River turtles are in danger of extinction, but environmentalists have come up with an initiative to save their lives. And that's by protecting their eggs. Climate change and human activities against their ecosystem have been putting these creatures at risk. Now, what the biologists and local volunteers do is that they recover a turtle nest from riverbanks during the rainy season to protect them from drowning. Then they take care of the baby turtles until they develop a hard shell and are ready to start their life journey. Batches of tiny turtles release into a river in the Amazon border between Bolivia and Brazil. They are now grown enough to protect themselves against different threats. Environmentalists have been doing this for more than 20 years, saving millions of baby turtles. This time they released 1 million of the little turtles. During the Christmas season, people around the world love to add a dose of joy in the form of Santas. Children especially feel ecstatic to see Santas distributing presents and snacks. But you'll be amazed to see how one Santa this time dives into water to give well-behaved sharks and fishes their goodies. In Malta's National Aquarium, Scuba Claus, helped by an elf, plunges into a huge fish tank with his sack of treats to feed sharks and fishes. Santas ho 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 come out in bubble through his snorkel over his white beard. The aquarium, located in the northern part of the island, hosts more than 175 different species of various marine animals.
Butterflies are probably the most popular among all insect species on Earth due to their beauty and color. Millions of monarch butterflies have flocked to a Mexican forest, creating a magical sight, drawing tourists, scientists, and locals there. The monarch butterflies flee the cold winters of Canada and northern United States and travel thousands of kilometers to hibernate and reproduce in the temperate woods of central Mexico. Hundreds of trees crowded with butterflies can be seen along Mexico's 13,000-hectare monarch reserve after their long journey. However, experts warn of a drop in the number of the species. Climate change is reported to have had an impact on their butterflies' migration pattern, as well as a reduction in their milkweed breeding habitat in the United States.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
With the Christmas season in full swing, hundreds have gathered on Spain's Gran Canaria island to watch stunning sand sculptures representing the birth of Christ. Eight sand artists from around the world have created these spectacular figures. It took them a week to complete the scenes. A huge sand wall is built around the sculptures to protect them. The island has been holding the event every year since 2006. The warm temperatures on the Spanish beach have helped attract a lot of visitors over Christmas. According to the organizers, at least 200,000 people have visited the exhibition in the past 15 years. A joyful day at an Australian zoo as a baby pygmy hippo is born. That's good news for the zoo staff because pygmy hippos are endangered species. Cambiri, the mother hippo, gave birth to the calf last month. It's her second calf and the first one was born in a Sydney zoo 4 years ago. The newborn is yet to be named. It sticks to the mum and follows her wherever she goes. The calf is spending most of its time out of the sight of the public, as for now it's learning to walk and swim. and the mum keeps a close eye on the calf at all times.
The first few days, she did not leave the calf's side, was very sedate, very quiet, and just looking after its every need. And only in the last sort of couple of days as she started to get a little bit more sleep in.
They are regarded as endangered animals because of illegal hunting and loss of habitat. Currently, less than 3,000 pygmy hippos are living in the wild.
Is it interesting to experience what Harry Potter went through at Hogwarts? Well, it could be, at least for students at a university in Pakistan, kicking off a festival celebrating the fictional wizard. The students at Government College University made their 150-year-old campus look like the magical school created by British author J.K. Rowling. They put on costumes and set up decorations reminiscent of Hogwarts. The university's vice chancellor says the campus, with its vast halls and soaring archways, has always reminded the students of the fictional school.
Most of these youngsters, they grew up at the time when J.K. Rowling's work was being presented in the novels and then later on in the film. So that magical charm, that fantasy, they really enjoyed. They grew up reading that fantasy. And then when they come to Government College University and see these architecture, it reminds me of that Hogwarts that is being filmed in Harry Potter films.
The university official spoke proudly of what his students have done. They were themselves happy too, calling their experience fun. Others said it was unbelievable to be in Hogwarts. The festival also screened Pakistan's first fan-made Harry Potter film made and acted by the students. The Swedish city of Stockholm has launched its 31st annual Christmas competition of baking gingerbread.
There is a limited in space, so it's 40 centimeters by 40 centimeters, and everything you build, all the material need to be eatable. So you can build with different things, gingerbread of course, but also candies and other things, but you need to be able to eat it. So that's one of the rules as well.
Each year, the Gingerbread House competition, hosted by ArcDesk Museum of Architecture and Design, has a theme for the designs. This year's theme is Together, attracting various interpretations of the topic. So far, the entries have included the Titanic, the famous coffee shop from the American TV show Friends, an igloo and the Berlin Wall, all entirely edible. The event, which has been running for 31 years, is designed for all kinds of creators, such as children, young people, adults, amateurs, and professionals. The Tasty exhibition runs until January the 5th. A Palestinian teacher has developed an assistant for himself nicknamed Mr. Robot, bringing joy to the children of a school in Gaza. Mr. Robot teaches the children of Al-Basma School about electric circuits and helps them memorize their lessons. Mr. Robot moves freely in the classroom, speaking Arabic to students and communicating with them as a friend. The teacher creating it says the aim was to stimulate creativity and innovation in his classroom.
Mr. Robot, as his name suggests, is the teacher's assistant and not his replacement. He assists in the education process by asking questions and giving answers, greeting students and interacting with them in all aspects of a class.
The teacher says at first students reacted to it in a strange way, but later on they said it was like a dream come true for them. Local engineers say the robot is the first of its kind in the Gaza Strip, where electrical tools and components are scarce.
Artificial intelligence has found its way into several aspects of our lives. Now, a French research team is working on a project to provide fishermen with intelligent trawls that could help them sort out fishes before they are brought to the boats.
The objective of the project is to try to provide a support tool for fishermen, because at the moment, when they put their fishing gear in the water, a trawl net is like a large net. It is towed behind the vessel for several hours without having knowledge of what enters the trawl net in real time. Namely, is it species that are targeted by the fishermen or not targeted?
The trawl head has a camera that can capture footage underwater, which is then analyzed by a microcomputer using artificial intelligence. If targeted fishes are detected, the trawl will switch to fishing mode, but when there are no targeted species, it will switch back to flight mode to avoid having an impact on the seabed. Another feature of this technology is to identify and classify pelagic species. For instance, horse mackerel can be displayed in blue on the screen, while the sardines are shown in pink.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, salam. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about drug addiction and drug addiction in the view of Islam. So please be with us. Today, Wednesday, is the 10th of Jamadi al-Awwal 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of the month of Azar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of December 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start our program by recitation of chapter Al-Ma'idah, verse 90.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu innama al-khamru wal-maysiru wal-ansabu wal-azlamu rijsum min amali shaytan. رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون.
O you who have believed, indeed, intoxicants, gambling, sacrificing on stone altars to other than Allah, and divining arrows are but defilement from the work of Satan. So avoid it that you may be successful.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
At the time of the advent of Islam, the Arabs customarily were intensively interested in poetry, wine, and fighting. The divine relations concerning the prohibition of wine were gradually conveyed. The verse enjoins to avoid not only drinking wine but also approaching any kind of toxicants. The reason of this ordinance is that a sound nutrition is effective in the prosperity of human beings. Therefore, it enjoins to avoid intoxication so that you may be prosperous.
Pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life. life with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, love, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So please, you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Addiction to modern tools. The Islamic or Muslim religion has principles which restrict the use of harmful substances in the body. Some include moderation, peace, self-awareness, spiritual awareness, prayer, and self-discipline. In living a life full of such principles, the individual can form a strong bond with Allah or God and feel very little need to engage in substance abuse. They can also follow the rules of Islam as they prohibit intoxication by both alcohol and opiates. Despite these prohibitions, many followers of Islam suffer from substance abuse issues and would greatly benefit from Muslim drug or alcohol rehab. In addition to spiritual ideals, physical purity and moderation, there are unique cultural values Muslims uphold. However, addiction is a disease which is impacted by biological and social factors, and it requires treatment like any other disease. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Regarding the positive effects of religious teachings on abandoning addiction to drugs, it must be indicated that another one and more important indication is that addiction is an obvious example of harming one's life. Nobody has any right to harm himself, to harm his or her body. And this is, of course, a crime that should be abandoned. Now, there are many verses in the Holy Quran. For example, one of them is وَلَا تُلْقُوا بَأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا تَهْلُكَ. This Quranic verse is explicit. I mean, it says that you shouldn't ruin yourselves. You shouldn't ruin your own body. And more importantly, you shouldn't ruin your own both body and mind. Okay. Another one is that وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَدَكَ مَغْلُولَةً إِلَى عُنُقِكَ وَلَا تَبْسُطْهَا كُلَّ الْبَسْطِ فَتَقْعُدْ مَلُومًا مَحْصُورًا. It indicates that nobody has any right to be extravagant, to be a person of splashing money here and there, because I mean everybody should be careful in how and where to spend money. It isn't suggested that people should be frugal, should be stingy. I mean, well, when it's needed, yes. I mean, a good amount of money should be spent for a good cause, for a good aim to achieve. Yet, splashing money here and there is not only religiously forbidden, but also rationally quite rejected. In the Islamic religion, we find that if we find any addicted person, first of all, other people have to support him in order to make him, return to the Muslim public, to the Muslim community. Well, if someone has been in the habit of making use of some drugs and inebriating liquids and drinks upon repentance, this person can again return to the Muslim community. It means that people are apt to make some mistakes from time to time. Of course, this isn't quite, it doesn't mean any permission. However, well, due to satanic temptation, some people may make some mistakes, but at the same time, there's a way out of that calamity or that turmoil. So people may repent and come back to the Muslim community. We hope to have indicated very important points in the case of being away from addiction and terminating that use that harms both that harms people's both mind and body. Thank you.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Now we'll listen to the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Addiction as a spiritual disease. This is echoed clearly in the Holy Quran, where Allah says that intoxicants sever the relationship with Allah as well as family and community. It views intoxicants as the cause for disrupted social behavior. It urges behaviors to shun and reject the habits so that they may prosper both in their horizontal relationship with kith and kin, as well as in their vertical relationship with Allah. Furthermore, prosperity can mean both spiritual and financial prosperity, which are drastically affected due to substance addiction. The Quran says, "You who believe intoxicants and gambling, idolatrous practices, and divining with arrows are repugnant acts, Satan's doing, shun them so that you may prosper." With intoxicants and gambling, Satan seeks only to incite enmity and hatred among you and to stop you remembering Allah and prayer. Will you not give them up? You can find this in the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Ma'idah, that is the fifth chapter of the Holy Quran, verses 90-91.
واشتد على العزيمة جوانه واشتد على العزيمة جوانه قم على خدمتك جوانه.
Tips for helping someone overcome drug addiction. Don't wait to take supportive actions. Denial can happen for the addict and for the family and friends involved too. It can be a lot easier to put off actions and conversations, but that means missed opportunities for early healing and greater risks of physical, psychological, emotional, and life damage. The diverse effects of drug addiction can be devastating. Work through any barriers rather than against them. Respect the person's privacy as you take steps forward toward treatment. Share what you learn about the treatment center so they know what to expect. Remember that their recovery is about prioritizing their higher personal goals, not your goals for them. Recognize that even when it means time away from work, rehab really is the next best thing for their career too.
Of course, the religion of Islam, we believe it has a solution to many problems of life. Most problems in life, and it needs the courage, and it needs for someone to follow all of the rules of the religion of Islam. If I just follow one rule here and I don't follow the other rules, then I'm not going to be able to have a solution. And of course, these solutions, they're also there from non-Muslims as well. They talk about the same solutions. One of the key reasons for individuals to do drugs, to perform drugs, and of course, when we talk about drugs, we're not just talking about young, we're not just talking about high school and college. No, there are people who are adults and they're still addicted to drugs. One of the most important reasons and the first motivating factor for an individual to try drugs is the friends. The friends and the environment and the atmosphere that this person chooses to hang out with. And when peer pressure starts, for the adults, it's very easy to get out of it because, you know, they just say no and they leave. But for the youth, especially for the children, for those in middle school, in high school, those who are still developing their identity, it's very easy for them to be misled. It's very easy for them to be fooled. And they want to fit in, they want to be cool. So someone comes and tells them, you know what, try this drug, you're going to be cool, you're going to fit in. And the first time that you try it, you've destroyed your life. You're putting yourself on the pathway of destruction. So what's the solution? The solution is to make sure that you choose the right friends and you choose the right environment and the right atmosphere to grow in, the right atmosphere to be in.
We look at the addiction in the view of Islam in the program of today's special. Inshallah, we continue this topic. Thank you very much for joining us till this time and till another chance to say salam. We leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Some might say this world today is sure. God's left us to our mistakes, oh, and He's never been so far away. Some might say, how could any father stand? See his children across many lands, suffer so, give no helping hand, no helping hand. Somewhere tonight, far away and out of sight, there's a child that's too weak to cry. Deep in those eyes, can't you see him in disguise, reaching out to the heart that's in you and I. In every tear that is wet, he is there. In every tear
Emmanuel Macron, the French president and the fiery preacher of human rights. In his recent tour of the Persian Gulf, however, he forgot to broach the subject altogether. Instead, Macron brought with him a large delegation of French ministers and top-level business executives to finalize lucrative arms deals with the United Arab Emirates and whitewash Saudi Arabia, two of the worst countries in the world in terms of human rights.
الحادث الحدث مؤلم جدا لجميع السعوديين.
Macron's visit to the UAE in early December coincided with the country's 50th National Day anniversary and concluded with a controversial weapons deal. The United Arab Emirates and France signed a $19 billion arms deal for 80 Rafale fighter jets and 12 military helicopters. It was the biggest international order ever made for the warplanes. The deal came despite opposition from rights organizations for the prominent role of Abu Dhabi in the bloody Saudi-led military campaign against Yemen. Abu Dhabi has also been embroiled in the Libyan crisis, where it has civilians' blood on its hands. In just one case on November 18, 2019, the UAE launched an awful drone attack on the Al Sumbula biscuit factory in Wadi al-Rabi, Libya, that killed 8 and wounded 27 civilians. After a visit to the United Arab Emirates and a short stop in Qatar, Macron landed in Jeddah to be the first major Western leader visiting the Saudi Crown Prince since the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. In the words of Lina al-Hafloul, the sister of prominent Saudi women's rights activist Loujain al-Hafloul, Macron is trying to rehabilitate the man who tortured my sister, killed Khashoggi, cut his body into pieces, and created the worst humanitarian crisis in a neighboring country. But all good, Macron has upcoming elections and needs his deals done. With his visit to the Saudi kingdom, Macron has been accused of putting deals before human rights, but he seems not to be disturbed at all by the accusation.
Actually, they are supporting groups like the Saudis who are killing people in Yemen. So France, like the rest of the West, is using these organizations like Amnesty or Human Rights Watch when it suits them. So when they think, okay, we will tell something, but actually they commit, commit atrocities in the name of human rights, you can say, especially in Yemen now. But the whole of the Middle East, they did, and still do.
During his visit to the Saudi kingdom, the French president underscored the necessity of working for stability in the region, while failing to mention that the road to stability cannot bypass freedom and human rights. He also failed to mention the destabilizing role of France in the region by spurring an arms race through selling weapons to the regional autocratic states. Along with the UK and the US, France has faced scrutiny over its continued arms sales to the Saudi-led coalition. A coalition that has claimed the lives of nearly 4,000 Yemeni children and displaced nearly 700,000 Yemeni families while causing one of the worst humanitarian crises in modern history. All of these crimes never made the French think twice before signing arms deals with the coalition. On December 3rd, the investigative website Disclosed revealed that France authorized deliveries of tens of thousands of arms to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in 2016, knowing that they could be used in Yemen.
Well, I think it's good that it's finally out in the open, that some people like me, we know already for a long time that France is involved in the Middle East, actually since 1948 when countries like Lebanon and Syria gained their independence, but they're still mingling around in the Middle East because as we know already, they are sending weapons. It was already known in 2015, I think, that they were sending weapons to Yemen. And we never forget what happened in Syria. They were, I think, one of the key players together with Britain to send weapons to Syria. So they always have this, and of course also they were quite in North Africa, you know, they had other colonies. So yeah, it's good that it's out in the open, that maybe the broad public knows now that France is a key player, still a key player in the Middle East, and trying to mingle around there.
Documents obtained by Disclosed show that under François Hollande, the French state authorized the delivery of nearly 150,000 shells to Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates in the heat of the Yemen war.
They have the idea of getting back to Bonapartism, so they will want to establish their role for themselves in the region. Now the US has facing a lot of problems and is more focused on the AUKUS, on Australia and China, the Chinese South Sea, so they are neglecting the Middle East. And France sees a very big role for itself in the Middle East again, unfortunately. So they sell the weapons most likely also to Saudi Arabia. And hopefully it will not result in another war again, but let's hope for the best.
Disclosed confirmed that Paris sold the Saudi forces 41,500 shells made by Gungas Incorporated, and sold the Emirati Army 3,000 anti-tank shells, 10,000 smoke shells, 50,000 explosive shells, and 50,000 artillery rockets made by Nexter Group. In the context of the Yemen war, France can be viewed as the symbol of Western hypocrisy, preaching the virtues of human rights while in reality putting profits before anything else.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.